Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. Good to be back this week. And again, thanks to Pastor Lutz for filling in with me last week and taking care of the program. And I hope you enjoyed the program. And he, of course, is interviewing, I'm going to get the guy's name wrong here in just a minute here. But the entire program, both his half hour that was on at 1 o'clock, and then my half hour at 1:30. Since he had the interview going through both programs, I'm going to post them both onto the website, so you'll be able to listen to the whole interview there. But again, Shelton Smith, right? And Spencer Smith. That's why I knew I was going to say Shelton, because that's the name that came to my mind first. But I'll have his whole interview with Spencer Smith on both, so it'd be an hour, two program, part one, part two, like we've done when we've combined our programs in the past. But I hope you'll enjoy listening to that if you didn't get a chance to hear the entire thing before. And I haven't heard the entire thing myself, so I've got to listen to it. But again, welcome to the program today. Good to be back, and the sun is peeking out. I've got daffodils up about an inch or more in my yard, and so signs of spring are springing up. The days are getting longer. We've got, of course, the time change Sunday coming up, I think in 2 weeks, I believe it is, and or a week from this coming Sunday, 2 weeks from last Sunday, however you want to look at it. And well, we've got a lot of things happening in the world today. I saw Pastor Lutz as he was heading out, and I said, well, anything been happening in the world since I saw you a couple of weeks ago? Well, you have to be living under a rock, several rocks, a pile of rocks, if you've not been aware of the things that are happening in the world right now. And so certainly I'll be talking about that a little bit here this afternoon, but also wanted to remind you that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can listen to our past programs there, and there's some articles and things that are there, some other materials, some word searches, and some different things, and you can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to come out and visit us. And we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We'll have all that information at the end of the program. But we have a Bible study tonight. It's an open format Bible study. You bring the questions, just like what we do on the radio oftentimes. If you listen to our Sunday night program on Sunday nights at 11 o'clock here on this station, we have an open format where people call in with questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We do that sometimes on Friday afternoons as well here in our 1:30 program, but oftentimes on Friday we'll talk about a particular subject or have a guest or something like that. It just usually works easier on Friday afternoon than on Sunday night. And so I do want to mention a couple of things here today, though, about what's happening in the world. And so check us out online, like I said, livewithpastoral.com. And an article that I just wrote is available on there right now. And the article that I did, I just finished it earlier this week. I started it last week when the Russian forces were still on the outskirts of Ukraine. And the article that I wrote, it's online. You can find it on our social media. I don't have it linked. Like I said, I just got it all together and this week, and I'm trying to get it all together and catch up with things. And I'll have it posted on our website at livewithpastoral.com. But you can find it on Facebook. You can find it on USA.life. You can find it on MeWe and a number of the other social media platforms that we're on. But the article is called "The Russian Bear is on the Move," and it's a little longer article than what I usually write, and I think it's over 4,000 words, about almost twice as long as what I usually write, but I felt led to go into some of the passages in Scripture, looking at some of the end time alignments of nations. And so I was going to talk about that a little bit here. But before we do, I just wanted to remind you a couple of other things, or let you know about a couple of other things. But we're going to take a look at something here, actually in Ezekiel 38 and Psalm 83. And Psalm 83, I think, is very pivotal to realize that it has to happen before Ezekiel 38. And so people are wondering and questioning what's happening with Russia on the move in Ukraine. Could we see the forerunner of things getting ready for the Ezekiel 38 invasion of the Middle East? So we'll talk about that a little bit. But I do want to remind you, check us out, as I said, online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Saw the State of the Union speech this past Wednesday, or when was that? It's such a memorable speech. This past week, saw that, and well, let's just say that it was interesting. And I'd like to know what kind of drugs and medication they put him on that he was able to stay there for over an hour and not fall over and not stumble as he was coming down off the platform. Because if you watch Joe Biden when he walks, there's a particular gait. My wife has worked in long-term care for decades and in hospice for quite some time. So between hospice and long-term care, she's worked with the elderly population since the 1980s. And you know, there are particular types of gaits that you'll see some people have, and especially somebody who's having balance issues. And there's a variety of maladies that will cause that. It can be anything from Parkinson's, types of dementia, things like that. And Joe Biden has that gait. If you watch him, it's like he's concentrating on where to put his feet so that he doesn't stumble and doesn't trip. And also he tends to shuffle with his feet kind of sliding forward and almost like catching him to keep him from falling. And it's different than, you know, somebody who doesn't have those balance issues where they kind of walk without, you know, seeming to pay much attention to their feet, and they seem to not be teetering and wobbling. And he did not do that going into the speech, the State of the Union speech. In fact, he actually kind of had a vigorous little almost half-run jump up onto the first couple steps as he mounted the dais to go up to the podium there to deliver his speech. And he wasn't hugging the thing and leaning on it using it to hold him up like he usually does when he's speaking. And he even opened his eyes and all. I know there were a lot of other things that we could have issue with there, but like I said, we certainly pray for Biden, and the Bible says that we should pray for government officials. And, you know, we see that very clearly in the Scriptures, that Paul said that we ought to pray for governors and kings and such. And let me turn over here real quick here to, I'll just read that directly here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, and starting in verse 1, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." And so at our church, we pray, and I pray personally for Joe Biden. I pray that he gets saved. I mean, this is what we need. We need him to get saved. If he got saved, what a difference that would make. And I hope that you pray for the salvation of Joe Biden, and I hope your church is praying for his salvation. Now, do I pray that he's successful in the things he's trying to do? No, because I don't like the things he's trying to do. And that leads me to what I was going to talk about here. As I said, I put this article together, The Russian Bear is on the Move. And Russia right now is not really the all-powerful country that they try to project to the world. They've got a lot of challenges. If you look at the military equipment that they're using in Ukraine, a lot of it seems to be older. A lot of it seems to be in poor repair. They had problems with some of the trucks coming in and the tires actually shredding, suggesting that the tires were old. And it's almost like he's sending in his second string into Ukraine, which makes you wonder, if that's the case, where's the first string? Where's the good equipment? Where are the top-notch troops and things that they are supposed to have? And I do think Ukraine's giving more of a fight than what Putin anticipated. But when you look at what's happening, a lot of people don't realize this, but simultaneously with this happening, we also saw that there's a series of exercises, military exercises. In January, the Chinese, along with Russia and Iran, had a series of exercises in the Persian Gulf. And then starting in late January and going through the month of February, Russia was engaged in some major naval exercises. In fact, it was the largest Russian naval deployment to the Mediterranean since the Cold War. And they brought these ships in. They have a port, the port of Tartus, on the northern part of the Syrian coast there on the Mediterranean Sea. And the Russians basically control that port. It's one of their largest naval bases outside of Russia now. And they brought in a huge number of ships and military personnel and equipment into this port. They also, as a part of these exercises they were having there in Syria, they deployed the long-range nuclear-capable Tu-22 M3 bombers, as well as MiG-31 fighters, which can carry the latest Kinzhal hypersonic cruise missiles, which, of course, can carry nuclear warheads if they would like as well. And they brought these aircraft into the large air base that they have in Syria. And this is supposedly conducting military exercises and drills in Syria and Eastern Mediterranean. Now, what I find interesting with this, and people wonder, is this somehow tied in? Everybody likes to go to Ezekiel 38. In Ezekiel 38, of course, where it starts in verse 1 saying, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back," excuse me, "and put hooks into thy jaws. And I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma, all of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee." And this coalition of nations, the Bible says, led by Gog and Magog, invades, goes into Israel. And of course, as you read a little further down here, as it continues talking, he says here in verse number 10, I'll drop down to verse number 10, it says, "Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land." He's talking about invading Israel and Israel having been restored to the land. He said the desolate places that are now inhabited. And as Israel came into the, as Israel declared their sovereignty in 1948 and they began working putting in orchards and farmland and planting trees across the nation, we saw the desolate places become inhabited. We saw them become fruitful and prosperous. And people were gathered out of the nations and are still being gathered out of the nations into the land. And so we see all these people coming there, but the key there, when this battle takes place, is that the people in Israel are described as a land of unwalled villages. They're described as people that are at rest, that dwell safely. They're described as dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. That's not Israel today. So something has to happen. Russia going into Ukraine is not going into the land of Israel. And even if they were, Israel is not in the case that it's described here in Ezekiel chapter 38. Now, we do look at this, and we look at Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Gog is identified with the land of Magog here, and he's the chief prince. The word translated here comes from the Hebrew word Rosh, and Rosh has been identified as the word that became Rush or Russia, and that's where Russia comes from. And of course, we've got Magog along with Meshach and Tubal mentioned in Genesis chapter 10, verse 2, as being Magog's son of Japheth, one of Noah's three sons, and his descendants migrated north of the Black and Caspian Seas and the Caucasus Mountains. Well, that gives you the area of Russia and Ukraine, Belarus, Kazakhstan, places like that. And as they migrated up into those areas, they became known as the Scythians. And the Scythians, of course, their descendants controlled an area from the Ukraine in the west through Siberia in the east, north of Mongolia and Iran. And so Magog appears to represent Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, that part of the world. Meshach is interesting. Their descendants migrated north and intermingled with the Scythians. They became known as the Muscai, the Muscovs, and they're considered by Gesenius and other historians and such as the forerunners of the name Moscow comes from Moscow, and they're so forerunners of some of the Russian peoples as well. And then, of course, we have Tubal. His descendants migrated north, wound up in the area of modern-day Georgia, Central Asian Republic of Georgia, southern and central Russia. They were in that area there, the capital of Georgia. Tbilisi, I'll probably pronounce that wrong, is derived from Tubal. Then we have the Tubal River and the city of Tobolsk in central Russia, all coming from that name. And so we can see that clearly identified. So what I think is happening personally is that Russia is on the move and they are setting the geopolitical stage for what's going to transpire in Ezekiel 38, but it's not yet Ezekiel 38. Well, what about all of the Russian military that's being built up in Syria right now? Well, the Biden administration has largely abdicated the role peacekeeper in the Middle East, and a number of the nations in the Middle East. Turkey is not looking at the United States as a viable security partner. They're actually looking more to Russia. Even Israel has been looking more to Russia. And, of course, some of the other nations are. And during the Trump administration, we had defeated ISIS, which was a big threat to much of the Middle East. And we had a large presence there, and we've been pulling out, pulling back. And of course, we know our disastrous departure from Afghanistan, just a total debacle there, where we left billions and, you know, tens of billions of dollars of military equipment, top-notch military equipment and supplies behind. And it's in their hands now, in the hands of terrorists. But as we pulled out, the Russians increased their presence. And so Russia really is one of the powers that's helping to guarantee peace and security and prevent the rise of ISIS or something like that in Syria. And in fact, the port that they control, I read a story recently where the Israeli government basically told the Russians that you need to do something, otherwise we're going to bomb that port because of the terrorists that were being supplied by Iran through the port. So the Russians basically took it over. So here we have Russia building up, and something that wasn't noticed by too many people last week as Russia was invading Ukraine, what happened in the UN, ambassador to the UN had made a statement that Russia does not recognize Israel's right to the Golan Heights. They believe that the Golan Heights belongs to Syria. And this is interesting because one passage here in Ezekiel 28, verse 8, it says, "After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, that is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them." And the mountains of Israel, as you read further down in Ezekiel 38 and go into Ezekiel 39, you find that's where Russia's destroyed. That's the Golan Heights, which Israel currently controls. Now, I know I'm quickly running out of time and I haven't covered nearly everything, never got over to Psalm 83. Maybe we'll come back to this next week or something. But what I was going to say in Psalm 83, Russia works through proxies oftentimes. They use that as an excuse to go into Chechnya when they re-annexed Chechnya back into Russia. They used that when they went into Georgia and when they installed a puppet government in Georgia. They were using that in their excuse for going into Ukraine. They used that when they annexed the Crimean Peninsula back during the Biden or the Obama administration. And what they did was they said that they had these Russians in eastern Ukraine that wanted to be a part of Russia, and they were using these, and so then Russia comes in to save the day, basically to be provide security for Russian interests, kind of like what Hitler did when he invaded, I think it was Czechoslovakia and some other places. But what if he's actually setting things up in Syria with the idea, now that they're saying that they don't recognize Israelis' right to the Golan Heights, that he might instigate some of the people there, Syrians, Hamas in Lebanon, and the Iranian forces in Syria, as well as some of the forces that are gathering in Iraq and Jordan and even in Egypt, and the idea that they're going to go in and stir up this unrest, and then Russia's going to come in to be the peacekeepers to bring security into the region, since the United States has basically abdicated that role. And in Psalm 83, I don't have time to go into all of that right now, but the nations in Psalm 83 that are listed that come in to wipe out Israel are those very nations that I just talked about, that would make Ammon and Moab and Edom would make up much of Jordan today, and Babylon would be over in Iraq, and then of course Syria and Lebanon, the Gaza Strip that's was named in Psalm 83, where the Philistines were, and Egypt is brought into some of this. And my speculation, if you read my article, "The Russian Bears on the Move," is that this will set the stage, and his attempts to instigate unrest so he can come in, so Putin can come in and be the peacekeeper and provide security to the region, is going to get out of hand, leading to the Psalm 83 in attack on Israel, where they attempt to destroy Israel completely, that the name of Israel is no longer remembered. And unfortunately for Putin, it's not going to go quite the way that he wants it to go. Instead, we're going to see a major war break out in the Middle East. I think that's what's next on the agenda. And of course, the unrest of that may be what sets up the stage for the unwalled villages later. Out of time right now. Thanks for listening. We'll pick this up hopefully next week. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.